is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 26th of May, 2026, and you are on the clock with Aaron Traffic Czar Green. Aaron Traffic Czar Green. Now you're going to say, Aaron, how could you be so bold to appoint yourself to a government position, right? You're just an ordinary citizen, a jabroni. You don't even participate in party politics. Nobody could say they seen you at a meeting, at a pop-up, at a fundraiser. How dare you call yourself the traffic czar? But I can tell you why I was so bold to take the lead this morning. Because I opened up the paper to see a government notice posted on Tuesday, the May 26th, that says, Ministry of Energy and Transport, Road Traffic Department. And now I could confidently say, ain't nobody in charge. Ain't nobody in charge, so I could be in charge of traffic, right? I could be in charge of traffic. I don't mind that at all. Is it not now the Ministry of Transport? Did we not just separate energy and transport? It's now energy, utilities, and aviation. Is it aviation? I don't know why aviation ain't for transport, because it is a form of transportation. That's something for us to question at a policy level, right? But right now, did y'all 14 days out from the election, be fair and call it 13 days, including non-business days. Did y'all not have the time to rewrite this submission? Because it is just the Ministry of Transport now, is it not? Y'all are slow out the gate, and it is concerning for those who are paying attention. I want to follow that up. I'm going to read from this letter to the editor in today's Tribune. This show was brought to you by a cohort of senior people who should have enough sense to know how to drive, but disregard all the things that they learned in driving school and in Sunday school. The letter to the editor is titled The Unique Language of Bahamian Roads. And it says, anyone who has spent more than 5 minutes on a Bahamian road will know that the car horn is not merely a warning device here. It is practically a second language. And I want to say, I know where the writer is going right from the first paragraph. And I want to correct that and say, your horn is a warning device and a tool for communication. That's what it is. It's not practically a second language. It is a language on the road. In many countries, a car horn is used sparingly and often aggressively, a sharp blast to warn of danger or express frustration. In the Bahamas, however, hooting has evolved into something far more nuanced, cultural, and oddly communal. A single beep can mean, hello, good morning, move over, thank you, I see you, slow down, watch the police ahead, or even you look good today. To outsiders, our streets can sound chaotic. To Bahamians, though, the symphony of horns is woven into the rhythm of everyday life. It is communication by instinct. Friends passing each other on East Street or Carmichael Road exchange cheerful hoots instead of text messages. Relatives announce their arrival outside homes with two quick taps rather than walking to the door. School children wave at passing cars whose drivers answer with a chirp of recognition. Of course, there is also the darker side of the culture. Some drivers lean on their horns with alarming enthusiasm the instant a traffic light turns green. I want to stick a pin right there. Because when the light turns green, you're supposed to be ready to move. How do I know this? I lived in a developed country where the light cycle, the traffic light has four cycles, right? It goes green, to amber to red to amber to green. Why does it go to amber after the red? To prepare you to take off. To prepare you. Why? Because the movement of cars is tied to your country's economic health. The effective and efficient movement of people, goods, and services is tied to the health of your economy. So yes, you're supposed to be ready to go when the light turns green. Now that there are people who are running red lights, that's the police side of it. Right? But the police have shifted the burden onto you, the driver. The police are supposed to deal with the people running the red lights. And I'm not telling you just throw your car in the intersection when you see a speeding car. But the point is, the whole driving culture has shifted because the state has put the burden, the duty, not the duty of care, the burden to enforce on the driver as opposed to them doing their jobs. Right? The horn is a tool. And if you are alert when you're driving, you should be able to determine in an instant, what that particular horn is trying to say to you or to other drivers in this very moment. That's why you should have no time for your cell phone in your hand. You should have no time for calls. You should have no time for fraternizing all y'all men and employers. Employers to take the time that you're moving employees about as if that's your time to romance them, to flirt with them, to seduce them. Let me go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. We talk in traffic right now.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Wait a minute. Question, right? Where do we get this habit from, right? A honk in the horn. 0.000.
You didn't hear what I was saying just now.
No, I was in the meeting.
Okay, well let me repeat it for you and other road users. You are supposed to be ready to go as soon as the light turns green. That there are so many people running red lights that you often panic when the light turns green is not the road user's business. It is the business of the Royal Bahamas Police Force Road Traffic Division, right? In Britain, a developed country, the traffic lights that they install there have four cycles where it goes from green to amber to red to amber to green. The amber between the red and the green is the time that you take to be prepared to move off the light when it turns green. That's where we got it from. The actual driving rules, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I will acknowledge that the general public is acknowledging in a very poor way that the police are not doing their job. If you and I and every driver knows that somebody is likely to run the red light at every intersection, every third cycle, why don't the police know this? Why aren't the police setting up strategic exercises to catch red light runners? Meanwhile, the economy is falling apart because people do not know how to or cannot move at the pace of their own economy. Because in many instances, people who have an excellent economy don't care about the pace at which other people need to move to make enough money to pay their bills. So that's why you're supposed to be ready to move as soon as the light turns green. This is not an opinion. This is not subjective. This is objective. Driving is an objective exercise. It's not a subjective exercise. You don't get to decide how close to the line you stop. You don't get to decide on which side of the line that you stop. In fact, today I will count it every day I observe thousands of dollars in uncollected revenue from ignored traffic infractions. Thousands of dollars every day.
Okay, what could we do before I go away? What could we do to correct that problem, say, coming off a hard road in JFK? Because there's actually an accident, actually about 10 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you come from hard road on the JFK,
mm-hmm.
right there, as soon as at the turning point, right before you reach Skyline.
You mean with the access ramp?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. There's actually 8 accidents per day.
You know what would work?
I don't get it.
You know what would work? Teaching people how to drive and then enforcing the traffic controls. It's as simple as that. It is that simple. Teaching people how to drive and then enforcing it. We need a provision where licenses can be revoked after, like, say you've been caught doing the same thing 5 times. Like you're a taxi driver and you've been caught turning right on red at Mackey and Shirley Street 5 times. Your private driver's license should be revoked. Your public service license should be revoked for 10 years.
And third thing, right?
Yeah.
Prince Charles Road. What could we do with Prince Charles Road? Because to me, right,
mm-hmm.
it seems that only way you drive on Prince Charles Road, if you have woman problems, I really want to make you make her.
Okay. See, Prince Charles is like Shirley Street. The people refuse to acknowledge what they're supposed to do on the road. If you have 2 lanes heading in the same direction, right? Then, and you get on the road, and you realize that you're making relatively the same speed as the 4 cars next to you in the other lane, you're supposed to merge into the slow lane so the faster cars could pass you in the faster lane. It's so simple. So, like, I'm upset at this letter to the editor because while it's beautifully written and it is an attempt to engage the subject using imagery and language that should engage the reader, by doing that, it disregards the fundamental point, which is this is an objective test. You don't get to decide what it is you want to do on the road and then tell other people they being outrageous. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
How you do?
I'm doing. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hope you enjoyed your weekend.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, in the line of work that I do, I am on the road all day because mm-hmm. I'm a driver.
Yes, ma'am.
And I've seen some things. And the gentleman that called the star and referenced the persons blowing their horns, I've done that to people. I'll admit that because they are on the light between three to five seconds after the light has been on green
mm-hmm.
as if they forget or they weren't looking or they weren't paying attention. And then they want to get upset with you when you blow your horn. So they slowly drive because, you know, the lights only have seconds to change anyway.
Yeah.
So in my view, if 3 cars are supposed to cross before that light change, then you move. And that is what has caused some people to run the light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't because I know I'm in a company vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But it would cause people to run right because they're frustrated. Now you don't hold them up. They have to wait again for the next circle to come around.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know? So if you don't, the way he's sounding like somebody that is afraid of the road. If you're afraid of the road.
Park your car.
Park your car. Ask someone to carry you where you need to go. You know? Or if you have the funds, hire a private car, those Uber, whatever, to take you around. Because this road is getting, I literally turned through McCullough Corner off East Street. They're the one-way street that brings you into Centerville.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know there's a red Jeep, brand new, driving, coming through that corner? Corner can barely carry 1 car.
In the wrong direction.
In the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at us as if we're the ones in the wrong.
Yeah. And then here's the worst part. You see, that's why the letter about the horn, I think, is so important to talk about. Because here's the worst part in all of it, right? When you blow your horn at somebody in an attempt to avoid an accident, like a head-on accident, which unfortunately I'm having to do more and more often now, The people in the car are mad at you. Let me tell you what's happening. When you bring attention to what they're doing, either they're aware that they're doing the wrong thing or they're not aware that they're doing the wrong thing. But when you bring attention to it, they feel shame because they have poor emotional regulation, right? They feel a shame, and this shame, right, emboldens them to lash out, or it triggers them. Let me say, it triggers them to lash out at you, right? I had a mom right before COVID. You could imagine if I had been stuck in the hospital in December 2019 because of a car accident. Mom decided that she was going to follow another driver through the stop sign without actually stopping at the stop sign. I could see it, and I blew my horn at her, and she looked me straight in my face and shook her head like, so what? Right? And she did. She did proceed out. She ran it, and she let me know she was running it. And I blew my horn at her until she skidded past the front of my car into the road. And this, this Grammy with her grandchild in the car lunged at me from the car seat to come to fight me, but couldn't get out the car because she forgot to unbuckle her seatbelt. Right? That's shame.
It is. And then you have a lot of the Bohemians that I've seen driving along the street, or like I say, on a daily basis, that they don't care that you're working. You are on the job. You are actually working. Mm-hmm. And they either have nothing to do, have nowhere to go, or mm-hmm. just do not care. And yet, when my children always threaten that they can take my horn from me. Because they say, I like my horn. I said, because for one, it keeps me safe. Mm-hmm. Because if there's a car that's coming, and I like to watch my rear end. Mm-hmm. If I see a car coming up on me and it seems like he's coming too fast, I could blow my horn to the car in front if I see space in front of them mm-hmm. in hopes that they pull up so I can pull up.
Listen, all of those people, I want to take them straight to the insurance office and give them a good tanning, like what we think is acceptable for children, in front of the insurance agent, because everybody gets charged with driving without due care and attention. I was involved in an accident that even Jesus couldn't tell me I was at fault. Right? And I got hit with driving without due care and attention. So I blow my horn because at the very least, the witnesses on the scene or the CCTV camera that y'all only use when it's to your benefit will identify that I was driving with due care and attention and I attempted to prevent the accident that was caused by somebody else, but could not because they were so committed to the foolishness that they were doing. It was unavoidable. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to blow my horn.
Yeah, so we need to, and then we have some of these cars now, they're putting in these train horns that are frightening people.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped out of there and I nearly won the light because the gentleman, he hailed somebody. Because I don't think he was trying to blow no one off the light. Mm-hmm. The light was still on red.
That's road traffic. That's road traffic.
Jump out of my seat.
That's road traffic in the police. See, let me tell you how I know that the slew of exercises conducted by the Royal Bahamas Police Force is just a tax collection exercise for the Ministry of Transport and Energy and now the Ministry of Transport. Because if you pull in over people to check their license and insurance, right? If you're pulling them over to check their license and their insurance, even in the midst, like you observe them committing a traffic offense, but you pull them over for something entirely different. You're supposed to make them blow their horn and check their license. You check in for license and insurance, like Road Traffic Department,
but
Ministry of Transport.
You have to realize, Aaron, that you have sometimes even the persons driving the police vehicle. You understand
That's
me?
The next
they,
thing.
They just run the light and no siren. And what they do, you'll see them on the line, either in front or back of you. Because, like I said, I was watching my back. And after a while, the traffic ain't moving, or the people ain't crossing light fast enough. You hear pom 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 pom, and they swing through the traffic, and they pom pom till they get across, and then they get across no more horn.
Mm-hmm. So what you're supposed to do, like if you really want to follow it up, what you have to attempt to do in the moment is to get the number of the vehicle.
We need to start like the gentleman in America a few years back. He had this camera with him everywhere he go. And when you see a police officer breaking the same law that they are supposed to be upholding,
yeah,
he videotaped them and send them to the Justice Department.
Absolutely. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Because people, this behavior has escalated the way that it has rapidly and extensively because people continue to watch police officers break the same traffic controls. They continue to watch police officers ignore other people breaking the traffic controls. And they say, well, if they could do it and they could let them do it, well, I could do it too. What they can tell me? What they could say to me?
I need to find out the difference between the horn and the siren because I mean, from what I think, the horn, they only use the horn when they want to duck traffic or when they want to get wherever they want to get in a hurry.
Let's reframe.
I think they have to give an account for the siren. That's why they don't use the siren when they want to do that. The siren is only for emergencies. So if you ain't got no place, if you're not in an emergency, why are you blowing your horn trying to break through traffic?
Right. So you have to document the number of the vehicle, the identifying number, the license plate if you can, and the time that you observe them blowing their horn. And then you present that to Royal Bahamas Police Force or Ministry of Transport, Road Traffic Department. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you as a road user, a professional driver, right? Thank you for sharing with us this morning. As I know, I'm not the only one. Here's a text. Morning, Aaron. The amount of people driving with cell phones in hand is alarming. Men, women, young and old, you can stand on any road and see it clear as day. It is frightening. And they also go on, check out the damage done to the wall and tree to National Trust on Village Road. Is this a recent, like over the last few days? Because I did see damage there relatively recently, maybe a couple of months ago. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, my niece Erin. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Please, allow me to set out an APP or request. I need to find out what's happening with Popperman. You know, I am blind and he's blind. I haven't heard from him
Popper.
For the last 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. I can reach out to him.
I'm a little concerned about that. But I also want to comment on the traffic thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know I used to be a bus driver.
Yes, sir.
And one morning I was on the front of the line. Now, mind you, the light had changed green for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I never pull off as soon as the light changed. Mm-hmm. I always wait a 2 or 3 seconds. But there was a car in the turning lane that should have turned that shoots straight across.
Yeah.
And do you know that gentleman's car got written off?
Mm-hmm.
That could have been me if I had gone as soon as the light had turned green.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Listen, I understand what people are saying, right? That they are moderating their behavior because of the lack of moderation of other drivers' behavior by the police. I understand it. But right there's a space right in there.
I'd rather wait to hear somebody blow. That's for me to go as soon as the light. Then I
hear you.
Sight before.
You used to.
Before I just shoot off because I got you. My light turned green, I can yield for a couple of seconds.
I got you. But listen, you used to drive stick, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so watch this. We need to train our people on transmission, manual transmission, not automatic. You need to learn to drive in a manual transmission. You need to take your test with a manual transmission. When I start, my first car was manual, right? When you are driving a manual transmission and you balance in the clutch and the gas pedal, and you have your car at a complete stop just by balancing the clutch and the gas pedal, right?
Yeah.
Then when you move into an automatic car, right, then you are better able, because of your experience balancing clutch and gas, you are better able to balance your, to touch your gas pedal so that when you are about to advance, if you see that a vehicle is not obeying the law, you could stop immediately. That's what I do.
Great.
Now, hold on. This is why public transportation is required in this country. Because as you get older, your reflex, right, your ability to respond quickly diminishes. But remember, driving is an object, objective, has an objective standard, not subjective. So at some point, people have to acknowledge that they may not have the capacity to drive, to operate a motor vehicle on the road, and may have to rely on alternate forms of transportation for their movement.
But, Ms. Green, like you say, I agree with you to a certain extent. They should give you a driver's license through a standard shift vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
If they have done that, then all of those standard shift ambulance that the people was complaining about, we would not be in all the boat looking for drivers for them.
But not just that. People would see driving a standard shift, a manual transition, forces you to understand your vehicle. If you don't understand your vehicle, you can't make it move. And it forces you to practice spatial awareness, to have a good, you have to have a good sense of how much space your car occupies and how you can effectively move it through a space. That's what driving a standard shift does. When these people learn in an automatic and they get in the automatic, then they put their brain on automatic and they think the car is driving itself.
Let me say this in closing, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
Do the ambulance driver,
mm-hmm.
they should know a little first aid something to help out with the people that be in the ambulance when they go to pick up a patient, eh?
Well, I thought that you...
I thought the driver should have just been the driver.
Oh, I see what you're saying, right? But
so
I think
why
that...
They brought in all them standard shift ambulance. Why did they didn't hire a couple bus drivers who can drive standard shift, who drives a vehicle with sometimes 29, 28 people in it?
Well, this is it. You got a good point. Now we got to go to PHA Academy and say, listen, should we consider that we don't need an EMT to actually drive the ambulance, but that don't mean anybody could drive it. We are pulling from the pool of experienced jitney drivers and public transportation drivers.
Sensible word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Implied. To
yeah,
do it.
I used to be a driver, so I have the right. I could say that. The sensible one.
Yeah. I think that that's a good idea that should be considered. It should be considered. But listen, thank you very much. This.
Pigeon Popper, man. Pigeon Popper.
Popper, you get calling.
Let's hear from him, man. Let's make sure he's all right. Then.
I got you. I love it. Thank you. Let's go to the next caller. Thank you, Uncle. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Yeah, there's a social engineering project going on in the streets. Remember, now, I used to first run that W, the czar, the traffic czar, so you could give me some
blessings.
I was trying to be, but, you know, obviously I think you deserve it, but I just wanted to say that, you know, I heard people talking about blowing people up the rear light, et cetera, et cetera. Remember a few months back I told you I was almost killed on Shirley Street when an imbecile was heading west, making about 80 or 70, and I was heading south. So if I hadn't delayed my response to the red light, it would have been a dead light. So, I mean, which is it? So it's social engineering, and so we see that people haphazardly, they don't even stop at junctions anymore. They're turning left on left and right anywhere. A guy turned left onto head north on Blue Road. I'm heading north on Blue Road, and I'm in the lane that he's got to turn, and he just blatantly pulls out in the front of me whilst my light is on green. So it's a lack of enforcement. They're pronouncing motorbikes. They're doing whatever they want to do on the streets. They're parking on sidewalks. They're being squeezed out of every little space, even on the beaches, et cetera. But I wanted to say this. I want you to look at it. There was a report, I think, came in where a young man was on a motorbike, and two other young men were on a motorbike, and they pulled a gun at him and took his brand-new motorbike or whatever. So what type of people are these? Those bikes only cost about $3,000 a screen. What type of people are this? Are these people, I mean, pulling a bike on a guy just for a bike? And it's frightening because, you know, the way out the government and the lack of enforcement and the lack of enforcing ordinances is leading to malic social encounters. It's like they're leaving us to fend for themselves. Even people haphazardly walking across the road. I had a friend went to Portugal, and he said, even when you go to walk across the road or you throw a piece of garbage on the ground, people look at you like they isolate you.
Yes.
And so when you see this type of behavior, let's say I'm walking, I'm driving at night, 10, 15 young men crossing the road, and they're moving across like nobody could do them anything. But is that right? Should you have the right to just walk in the front of a car and without even acknowledging the driver or looking in his face like back in the days, you would look in the driver's face to see that he acknowledges you? And then people are just haphazardly, and, you know, it seems to be foreigners, man. And so I saw a Latino guy in a truck heading south on Market Street. I was on my bicycle, and he's actually in his phone, boldly So what kind of example are we setting? I guarantee you wouldn't do that in the States, Ms. Green.
Listen, I on the Friday before, thank you.
Yes.
On the Friday before the holiday weekend, I think it was the Friday or the Thursday, I found myself on Bay Street behind a Jeep that was rented to a group of tourists and a Surrey, the horse thing. And it's the most frustrating thing because the horse and carriage doing 7 miles an hour up the road and this Jeep full of tourists is doing 7 miles an hour up Bay Street, you know, in the middle of the day. And I tooted at the Jeep with the tourists in it. And essentially I got cuss off stink by a group of tourists. And I swear to all of my ancestors, it took everything within me. It took everything within me to not waste my entire holiday weekend attempting some foolishness like a citizen's arrest. Now, when I say that, I only say that because, you know, them kind of things is only frustrate the police, cause me to get locked up. But the first question I have for the Ministry of Transport is, if a vehicle can only be occupied by the same number of people that there are seat belts for. So if there are only five seat belts, only five people could be in a vehicle, right? If that's the insurance policy and your insurance is nullified, if you're involved in an incident and they can prove that you had more than the legally permitted number of people in the vehicle, right? So I want to know who rent this Jeep and then let the people put 10 people inside it. 10. We're talking about a standard four-wheeler. 10. So when you said foreigners, I want you to know, we got tourists up and down this town cussing off Bahamians, risking their lives because they've been empowered by their tour guides and the people who rent them the vehicles to do whatever they want on the road. See, as the producer takes us to the break, the reason this subject is also important to me is not because when taxi driver hit my mother's car the other day and then tried to bully her into not making a report by telling her she was moving the wrong way on a one-way street that was obviously not a one-way street. I wondered, when I see this Guardian headline, economy grows by 3.8%, I'll keep this government on track to meet budget surplus. How? How? Tell me how. Because there are thousands and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue to be collected from bad drivers every day. And you ain't collecting a cent of it. Not a piece of it. So I just want to know what type of voodoo economics, PLP math they can do this with. We're going to a break when we get back from the break. Do you know why Memorial Day? Do you know why with Monday? After the break, you're on the clock with Erin Green. Stay tuned.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man. We could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. you seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I'm going to read the text and then we're going to transition to the Guardian front page. It says, in reference to the damage of the wall and tree near National Trust on Village Road or at the National Trust, the text says, recent damage must have happened over the weekend. The tree is in the road. When I talk about the Village Road renovation, the impact of the roundabout right there, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I am so hurt. I am so hurt. I'm so hurt that all of the money, the time, the resources, the inconvenience, the disruption of economic activity and people's personal lives to see Village Road the way it is. Here's the first thing I want to say. This is a positive. This is really a positive. I want you to think about this. For the parents of Blairwood Academy, for the parents and the people who move children to and from Blairwood Academy, right? If you are exiting Blairwood Academy and you want to go south on Village Road, but maybe there's a stream of northbound traffic that prevents you from getting out, or there's a stream of southbound traffic that prevents you from entering the southbound lane, even though you could make your way out of the entrance to Blairwood and block up the northbound lane for as long as it takes for the southbound lane to clear for you to get out and turn south. Did you know that by simply turning left and going to the roundabout and then proceeding around the roundabout back south on Village Road, you could remove hundreds of hours of frustration and road blockages just by using the roundabout right there? So for the parents and the guardians, the people who use Blairwood Academy, if you're trying to turn south onto Village Road, but you are unable to enter the roadway without obstructing traffic, just turn left. Go to the roundabout and go around the roundabout to go back south. Also, that roundabout can accommodate two lanes at the widest points, right? At the entrance to the trust and going around to the entrance to QC. It accommodates two lanes so that the vehicles going to QC do not obstruct traffic going south or going north on Village Road. Did you all know that? The intersection, the roundabout, and the lanes approaching it are not sufficiently lit. You need to repaint the roads, and if not just repaint them, add more glitter to the paint. But what am I talking about? Because the people who frequent that area, like, we spent all that money building those sidewalks for y'all to park your cars on it and for the drunk people to walk in the road. The whole thing, see, this is what's frustrating about being in the Bahamas, is watching attempts to sort of inculcate, to bring in new technology and new systems, but watching people continuously ignore it, break it up, mash it up. Good morning, caller.
What's up, Mary?
Good morning.
Yeah. No matter what you see, right? Always keep it in your mind that the people are being led somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what we see, you know, in terms of our environment and infrastructure, you know, the roads, the sidewalks, traffic lights, turning, you know, on left.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, I think it's all intentional.
contrived chaos.
It's like a distraction.
Mm-hmm, contrived chaos.
Yeah, yeah. You see, over the weekend, I've arrived at a kind of maximum thing. Until you know better, assume that leadership on both sides of the political spectrum, they are joined at the hip. You know, they are joined at the hip. I mean, Mr. Mitchell, you know, comes out over the weekend, you know, and calls the the gardener thing a non-burger.
Yeah, I'm looking at that article right now. A nothing burger.
Okay, but you look at the, and then you know the trip. There is a Tribune story about us the public having to pay $50 million.
Oh, for the cost of the PPP, the building
in Freeport, right?
Yeah, Grand Bahama.
Now, you read into the story, and you see where that particular contract was signed the day before the 2017 election.
2017, now, not 2021.
No, not 2021.
All right.
So, you put the story together, and the guy's talking about cancel and review, right? How come they didn't cancel and review and review that?
Yeah.
See, I think we got to understand, like, even the silence on the Gardner thing, people on both sides are involved in this.
Ooh. I think it would be, it's the only thing I want to say about this right now, what the last caller said. I think it's important to be able to see what is a partisan space, like PLP versus FNM space, what is a non-partisan space, right? But it's within the political realm, right? I think it's important to be able to see what is partisan politics and what is political class politics. But I look at the headline in today's Guardian, Mitchell, Election Day plane crash, a nothing burger. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to you, Aaron.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to add your interesting conversation this morning. A lot of the said is actually positive and factual, you know, and it's interesting how you actually mentioned the Shirley Street and Mackey Street Junction, the red light there, which is constantly being aggressively abused by persons exiting Shirley Street onto, exiting Mackey Street onto Shirley Street. What I wanted to mention also, with it being a traffic discussion, after being in accidents, being hit by people running the red light, as I was many times, persons do become in fear of even witnessing these things. They might not even be in the accident, but seeing it happen, it
PTSD.
Puts them in a cautionary state to actually take off of the light right then. I frequently use the Paradise Island Bridge, and I had an incident last year, April 15th. That I was in the left lane, because you know that's a double lane coming over off the bridge onto going south to Mackey. And as I, the bus on the side of me in the right lane while I was in the left lane, the bus exited before me, but he took off at a good rate of speed. I still held on, but I realized he took off so fast to avoid the vehicle that was coming speeding down Bay Street. That vehicle actually ran into me and right off my car. There were witnesses there, and he actually admitted that he was wrong when the police came. At one point, while we were waiting on the police, he actually tried to speed off. The SWAT came at the same time, saw my car in the middle of the road, and I had to point them in his direction. They brought him back. But what I want to get to is the fact that he didn't have a license or he didn't provide any at mm-hmm. any point
mm-hmm.
to the police. The car was not his car.
Mm-hmm.
It was his. The father loaned him the car, which is the car was registered in the company's name the father works for.
Oh, boy.
So how is it, like, these persons get off with impunity? We grow up here in Poisson saying, oh, I can't lend you my car because you don't have a driver's license and I don't want to get into mm-hmm. any issues or problems. But it seems like that doesn't happen. That's just a cliche.
It is just, it appears to be a cliche. Look, I had a friend who would say, hey, you don't have to catch the bus home. Drop me to work and you could borrow my car. Come pick me up after work. I tell her not a thing like it. My insurance agent would beat me if she knew I was doing foolishness. Right? Something has changed. But here's my thing. You know what hasn't changed? The law has not changed to reflect what is required to moderate the behavior of Bahamian drivers. So, like you say, you know, let me give you a perfect example. I want to say thank you for your contributions, caller, and I appreciate, most importantly, what you shared about PTSD and how it affects other drivers moving off the green light. I appreciate it entirely. I can stick a pin on what I'm going to tell you about something that happened recently. We're going to go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
My name is Green. How you doing this evening? This morning, ma'am.
Good, thank you. How you doing?
Good, buddy Spark here. Miss Green, you know, so much things is happening in this country. Every day people complain about everything. Nothing seems to get any better. Services run. Why would you think that the Bank of the Bahamas would choose the holiday weekend to upgrade their system? When you go into the ATM, you can't use your card.
I got you, Sparky. Let me respond to it. I want to say thank you very much for sharing that. So after I posted yesterday or Sunday about the inability to access the ATM, a whole bunch of people come. You didn't see the notices? They was talking about it for 3 weeks. You didn't know? You supposed to know. Let me tell you something. Bank of the Bahamas has enough money. Bank of the Bahamas has enough money to properly announce a multiple-day disruption in all of their services at the same time. Y'all have been beaten down into submission where you just accept mediocrity and then demand that everybody accept it as the highest standard of professional performance. Bank of the Bahamas had enough money to ensure that every single one of their customers were aware of the disruption well in advance. They all stopped playing with people. And it turns out multiple banks had issues that rendered parts of their services down during the same weekend. Come on, man. It's 2026. Y'all just let people tell y'all anything. Producer, let's go to the last call, and then I got 60 seconds to read text, maybe, if my math is wrong. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Erin. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. You know, I heard about that article in the papers this morning about the Minister of...
Foreign Affairs?
Foreign Affairs.
Yes.
How could you have a Bahamian who's incarcerated in the States, and you wouldn't say a word? I think I have a problem with that.
The ministry?
I have a serious problem with that.
I
need to come back and call it a burger.
A nothing, not just a burger.
A nothing burger.
But guess what? The irony is his to hold. You know how much a burger costs in the Bahamas right now? You know how much a regular burger costs in the Bahamas right now? People trying to sell you a burger for $20 without fries. Some of them say, you thought condiments came with the burger? You thought the mayo and the mustard and the ketchup came with the burger? No. Here's a text to end the show. If every single car had dash cams in the Bahamas, I think most crimes would be solved in this country because everything everywhere would be on film somewhere. Also, Ms. Green, people are also renting vehicles that can't pass inspection. Morning, Erin. I think government needs to put up some stay left signs for these tourists who drive on the right in their country. I escaped near head-on accident from some tourists on a four-wheeler in Yamacraw Road coming down that curve. Good thing I was paying close attention at that curve. Here we go. Good morning. This chaos isn't planned. It's just pure negligence, and the government have their focus on only a certain group of people. Government like to buy new and never maintain. This country will get a lot worse before it gets better. Good morning, Aaron. I am not sure what your topic is today, but do you know if Inland Revenue is having challenges with the business license? I'm asking because I haven't received mine as yet. Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Here we go. I noticed Minister Mitchell's statement. I thought, wow, our, quote, don't believe your lying eyes, quote, timeline is shrinking. Last time it took a few months for Davis to try to convince us that the indictment. I don't even. Why are y'all talking about? Oh, trumped up. I thought y'all was talking about Trump. That's why I stopped reading. It's absolutely foolishness to say the opposition is not saying anything about the Gardner matter. The leader of the opposition has for 4 years been calling the government out on their involvement with him and others. I didn't say that. I think people are really, they don't see the opposition as the government when they use government in the sense, sir. Don't forget about road marking. There are no center lines. Most, if not all, is faded and the wrong color. Roundabout is another problem. Listen, y'all want to talk about plane crash and nothing burgers? Transport is an equally effective space for us to examine the devolution of police and state systems. You guys have a great day. Say thank you to my producer for his patience. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.